Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 151 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and typing furiously, Sean Orford. You all right? You ready to go?
Yeah, I am ready to go.
Jump the gun a little bit.
I'm fired up by this.
Yeah, this is one's got you thinking, eh?
It has, yeah.
We are chatting this week about basically the internet's effect on our mind, really, intelligence and emotional intelligence. Well, the title is whether it's making us more dumber or not, based on an article which Sean read. We'll come on to that in a second. For those of you that are new to the show, you'll be, well, get used to me slipping over my words, because I'm not a professional.
Come on, 151 episodes, you've got to be a pro by now.
It's getting late, man, loving it. But yeah, website liveinthepresent.co.uk. If you head there, you will find all previous episodes of this wonderful award-winning podcast.
Yes.
We did win it, remember?
We did.
It was way back when, but we won an award.
Yeah, we designed that award well, didn't we? No, we did. We won an award.
We did, yeah. So there's loads of themes, but we've pretty much covered most emotional topics over the years, but there's plenty more for us to talk about.
There always is.
There always will be. So head over there, check us out, follow us online. If there's anything you would like us to talk about, feel free to email us, anything at liveinthepresent.co.uk. We'll pick it up and we'll try and shoehorn it into our schedule, which isn't that busy really. Well, we have busy schedules, but we haven't got like 100 podcasts lined up ready to go, have we?
No,
because it's a fast-paced world we live in, isn't it?
We're responsive and reactive to the world around us.
Exactly. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm stunningly good.
What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
We got a new bathroom, which is very, very sexy, and I have
power shower.
I have a 12-incher. I don't like to boast. I've got a 12-inch deluge shower.
Yeah. Is that the diameter?
Yeah.
Diameter, is that right?
Yeah. A monsoon shower, not a deluge. A monsoon
shower. Is that what it's actually called?
Yeah.
Flipping heck.
Yeah.
Let's have a go. The trouble
is it's so hard, you end up flat on the bottom of the tray.
Yeah, stop it, yeah. Help. It's one of those emergency cords.
Yes.
Help,
get me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, I'm not sure I'll ever give the shower a go, but... Oh, you can turn it on for me.
You're welcome to come around and have a shower.
Yeah, I do need one at the moment, yeah, but...
I was very specific when the shower was put in. You know the way showers are designed, where you have to lean through the head to turn it on?
Yeah.
So inevitably you get wet with cold water.
Plumbers do it for a laugh, they know what they're doing.
I've made them put the controls outside of the enclosure.
Clever.
So that you have to turn it on before you go into the shower.
You've got to stick your arm out to turn it off?
But that's sticking your arm out to the dry.
Yeah, because
I've dried my arm. That's not the same.
Are you going to drip it on the floor? Or are you?
No. It's designed. It's drip proof. You'll love it. We'll have parties in there. It's
I can't wait to see it, folks. I'll get a picture on Instagram for you to see. ASAP. I'm back up to nothing too exciting, really. After walking into a glass door last week, I'm just back up to speed with emails, which. I guess we'll roll us nicely into this week's show, really, because a couple of weeks ago I had a week away in the sticks in the northeast of England and properly switched off. Like, I worked really hard before I went away to get as much done as I could so that people wouldn't be chasing me for stuff. And I could just kind of relax properly and not worrying about what I've got to do when I come back. And it worked. Like, I only had to do one tiny bit of work. And I didn't even check my emails for it, so I didn't like refresh and see 90 emails. Oh, blimey. But yeah, I was completely, because where we are in the country, there's no mobile internet, there's no Wi-Fi on the site we stay on. So basically, we just switched off, and even the little villages that we went to for days out and stuff, again, there's only one you go through where you get a bit of 3G, and I'm driving, so I can't really check it. So nothing for a week. I didn't buy paper. Wow. And it was brilliant, actually.
It's good.
It was amazing. And then I came back and just this data dump of what's been going on,
yeah.
which I was just powerless to resist.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm thinking in terms of this show, whether the internet is making us a bit more daft or it's changing our brains, which it is, it's got to be. Do I really need to be that up on American politics and the primaries that are going on? And do I?
I don't know, do you?
So we'll talk about this article that I'll put in the show notes that triggered your interest.
It's the idea that that we, as a society, the Western society, is developing like an autistic tendency. We talk about Asperger's. In psychology, we like to avoid the word Asperger's these days and look at Asperger's behaviours like high-functioning autistic spectrum.
Yep.
So Asperger's as a word will probably disappear over a while. But the issue basically is somebody who cannot make sense of eyes, movements, and visual communication or tone of voice. They don't get it. Yeah, all they hear is the content of the words.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that when someone is autistic, they'll avoid eye contact. So that when you're talking to someone who is in that Asperger's-y, high-end autistic spectrum, you need to keep pulling their head round so that they make eye contact with you, because it will go in if they make eye contact. It's hard, that one.
Yeah.
But the thing about using a device, there's a lovely, lovely bit of research here, which is on the Psychology Today website. But it says here that if you look at communication process, the understanding is that 55% of communication is body language, is what we see. Yeah? 38% of it is the tone of voice. And only 7% of it are the actual words that are spoken.
Mm.
Yeah. So that what that means is an autistic person only switches into 7%, which is why they have such problems. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you're just using a device where you're sending messages by email or messenger to another person, you're only getting 7% of what they're telling you, because you can't see their face, you can't see their body language, you can't hear the tone of the fingers that punched those letters in.
Yeah, and how violent, and they were attacking the keyboard.
Yeah, and you thought, and you thought it was fun. Yeah. So the potential for miscommunication is enormous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that in, you know, in work. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. I can't remember the episode about... you know, I had a bit of a miscommunication with a client, and it was dealt with very quickly, but I felt from an email I had from a client that he was a bit abrupt and a bit upset with something, and I kind of replied back just checking everything was okay and politely, and then he replied instantly like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine, sorry, did you not get that from my message?" Like, no, you sounded like you were going off your head. But yeah, that's the 7%, although yeah. I wasn't missing out on that 93%.
Yeah, which is colossal if you think about that. 93%, that's massive.
I know. I think we on the show haven't done that many interviews, like guest interviews, I think, and partly it's because I'm too lazy to organise them. But you know, there's people around the world we could talk to via Skype, and I know a lot of podcasts do a great job of doing these Skype interviews, but I don't really like the idea of speaking to someone that far away and not really seeing. I know you can do video chat and stuff.
Well, no, I see people. A lot of people came from the podcast where people will actually say, "Can I have some of your time?" And they're booking some sessions.
Video.
So doing is I'm doing psychotherapy and coaching over the airwaves, as it were, but it's visual. Mm. So either FaceTime or Skype or Zoom or something like that. But the thing is that when you use it, if the internet speeds up and it uses fine, that there's no delay, that you can start to see immediate responses.
Yeah.
Yeah, occasionally, if things are blogged up and it's kind of slowing down, then it starts to hang back a bit. You know? Mm. But 99% of the time, it's like the person's right in front of you.
Sure.
Yeah. And when that's...
But you wouldn't do that in-depth kind of psychotherapy just via over the phone, I take it, or would you be
there is a whole school. There are conferences that the British Society of Counselling and Psychotherapy put together, which are the British Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy, which are about internet counselling, which are done through email. If you think about phone work, phone lines, all that kind of stuff, because 38% of the communication is in the tone of the voice, so you've got the 38% and then you've got the 7% of the content of the words, you've got a much higher hit rate of getting some kind of meaning across. So the things like the Dundonian accent and the Irish accent, Southern Irish accent, is supposed to be calming. So complaints departments tend to use, or they tend to focus themselves in those kinds of areas, so that you've got someone with the right kind of voice dealing with
your... go on, you'll be fine, don't worry about it.
All the Irish people now write in and say, it was an awful accent.
Well, which part of Ireland was I from? Can you guess? Please email.
You sound like the New York Irish to me.
Gangs of New York style. What's your relationship with the internet then, in terms of, because you're like me, you read a lot of stuff on the web, like you're just addicted to reading stuff.
Well, I
sending me things.
I do read stuff. I have things that I sign up for that are kind of psychology, psychiatry, medicine, stuff that
professional
drops
development
in. It's not just the professional stuff, it has that. It's a kind of a personal... It's a bit like being fascinated how the Western world is finding scientific reasons for how the Eastern world functions. So if I look at my Ayurvedic roots, it's fascinating to see the Western world discovering the scientific reality of what in the Ayurvedic world was been going on for thousands of years. But they're validating it. And so that's part of my thing. I'm fascinated when I see that. I think, ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like to stay connected to things, but the things I want to be connected to, the things that I have the biggest issues of connecting with are things like Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And I do my best to hang in there, but it's so impersonal that things like Facebook are so full of this richness of stuff, which actually isn't kind of real. And it's that thing about people will go out their way to present how wonderful the world is when maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Alongside people who are going to moan about everything they possibly can and everybody and cuss everybody out online. I guess in that sense, it's probably like any community or town. But we're back to that issue that we're reading when we see on the screen. We're only getting 7% of what those people mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my personal kind of relationship with the web, I mean, I'm working on a computer all day, and I tend to have Twitter open and a panel, and I'll usually have a YouTube video going, like a documentary or an interview going in the background as well as I work, or a podcast. So I've always got something going in my ears or my eyes. Digitally speaking, I do worry maybe I'm a bit over inundated, and I must be, because I had that week away 2 weeks ago, unplugged, and there was none of that kind of 3-day getting used to not checking my phone all the time. It was straight into it. It was lovely. I didn't miss it at all because I was preoccupied with a couple of lovely little lads rolling around in a field and all that stuff, going to the beach. So obviously I don't need it, but when it's there, I take it. So there's that addictive nature, isn't there?
Do you mean you're an I-bingist?
Yeah, I must be. One other article, an independent one, which got some really interesting stuff in, talks about how obviously now we're using social media to document our lives, maybe a certain angle of our lives and only the good bits and bobs, which we've spoken about. But there's some interesting stuff there about how research has been done into the fact that by photographing an event, which is quite an instinctive thing for people to do now, whether it be you're at a gig, you're at somewhere cool, you're on holiday, or maybe something awfuls happen in front of you, like whenever there's a terrorist attack or an earthquake, it's like, poof, everyone gets their phones out and starts recording it, you know? It's quite instinctive, I think, isn't it? But the research has shown that not only do you kind of remember the event less, let's say you're at a music concert, or you kind of, you take it in less in terms of living in the present, but you also remember it less in the future.
But in a way, what you've done, you're actually at the event, but you're holding up a screen in front of your face and you're watching the event on the screen that you're filming. You're not actually at the event.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well stay at home and watch it on the telly.
Well, that's what gets me. Oh, you watch Glastonbury and there's people there holding up a phone and snap, snap, snapping away. They can't all be doing it all the time. It's obviously just, let's do one now and then get back to it. But, you know, the BBC are sending this out at HD, 4K resolution, which you can set your Sky Plus to record on your phone, guys.
Yeah.
Enjoy the moment and then watch it when you get home.
Yeah.
But maybe it's easier said than done. Maybe I'd be doing exactly the same thing. I haven't been to Glastonbury in 13 years.
I think that the, one of the other things that just need to say is that there's been a programme, I think it's been on the BBC, about ageing. And what is it that stops people ageing? And one of the things that they came up with that everybody in my family was talking about, because I haven't actually seen the programme, but they've all watched it, is that one of the most powerful things that you can do to maintain your brain function is to dance.
Dance?
Because when you dance, you've got a social interaction with a group of people. You've got a kind of essential intimate interaction with the person you're dancing with.
Yep.
You have to move your body in a coordinated way. You have to turn on to the music. It works your audio, visual, physical, timing. Everything's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And doing that will keep you younger for longer.
Hmm.
Yeah. And if I think about that and then I look at my own kids, I don't know how your kids are going to pan out, but it's like kids don't go out and play.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's a whole load of things that go with that. That if a child doesn't get enough sunlight, and that can either be because they're not out playing or because they're covered in sunblock, their vitamin D drops. If their vitamin D drops, then that's the precursor of serotonin, which is the well-being hormone in the brain, which drops.
Yep.
So people now start to get depressed. So you now get kids that are suffering from depression because they haven't got enough serotonin, because they haven't got enough vitamin D, because they've been playing out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the impact of eye disorder, in the sense of the fact that we're stuck into these bits of equipment, is huge on all kinds of levels, social levels.
I mean, Will's my 4-year-old. He's got quite a decent iPad addiction on the go.
Yeah. Well, when I babysat the other day, he and I had a lot of fun on
iPads. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Did you have your iPad Pro out?
Yeah. And we were drawing together.
So he's good on it, man. He's got his own little Netflix profile, which he goes to. The YouTube Kids app is amazing, not just for him, because you can do the voice search. So he can search for things by hitting the microphone and going, the twits, or... I was making him watch Inspector Gadget the other morning, like, just because I remember it as a kid. Jimbo and the Jet Set, remember that?
Yeah, no.
That's way before, after your time.
Yeah, it's
a good trip down memory lane for me. But at the same time, you know, today the weather's been gorgeous, hasn't it?
Was Jimbo an aeroplane?
Jimbo, yeah.
I remember it. It's just come back to me. Yeah,
Jimbo, it's amazing. Actually, it wasn't, but he liked it. Anyway, yeah, today's been gorgeous and he's been outside all day. And where we are here is quite a unique little spot and all the kids come out.
Yeah, when I arrived tonight, there were kids playing out.
So Will was, I was putting him to bed right before you came, praying he'd go to sleep before you knocked on the door.
And he did.
And he was just asleep. But he was almost in tears because he could hear his pals outside playing. And why can't I play outside? So yeah, he has been out. So it's a bit of a balance, which we're trying to strike.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're getting there. But yeah, his addiction is on the up, I can see.
I think technology is great. I think that it does open tremendous opportunities for us in all kinds of levels. And I want to investigate doing enhanced books.
Yeah.
That's one of my projects I want to get going.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I nearly ran two kids over because I was turning right and they were walking along. Both of them had their heads in their phones and they just crossed the road that I was turning into.
Oh,
And if I hadn't been awake, I would have run them over.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's an eye disorder.
We'll have self-driving cars soon. They'll be fine.
That'll be okay. So you, I can do
the cars will see him. Yeah. I do that quite a bit, you know, but I like to take it quite close just to give him a scare.
So you go beep. We saw a little while after that, because it was like, whoa, that was crazy. And there was a woman walking along with pram, pushing a pram with a child in it, on the phone.
And she's on the phone, crikey. Yeah,
so, and she's actually texting on the phone, so she's looking at the screen. So there's no contact with the child at all when she's walking.
Yeah, I get conscious of that, you know, when I'm mucking around with my lads. And, you know, I'll be checking stuff on my phone too. And sometimes I'll be like, Daddy, get off your phone. Or they won't. Jacob can't speak yet, but I can tell that's what he's thinking. So I'm quite like, oh, sorry. Yeah. What a world we live in, hey?
It's a crazy world.
Outsourced memories. And not just outsourced memories, there's the kind of thing that what Google has done and created means that we don't need to have a memory, into like a that kind of recall memory that we used to need. Things like maths, I guess, as well, which I was pretty good at maths as a kid, but I can still do the odd bit of arithmetic, but I don't probably do it as much in my head as I should, because I just kind of ask Google or flip open the calculator and there it is, done.
Yeah, but does that mean that we lose brain cells in doing that? Because we gain brain cells in response to new learning. If we're not learning, then there's no brain cells.
I think so.
Harris's law. I've put a link into this.
Harris?
It works around the idea that people are online killing people in games and stuff.
Oh, right? Yeah, okay.
So Harris's law is, at some point, all humanity in an online community is lost, and the goal becomes to inflict as much psychological suffering as possible on another person.
I mean, yeah, well, you see that on Twitter in terms of trolling and people that are quite nice in real life online have this, they just kind of go after celebrities and say the most horrendous things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every now and again they get called out or retweeted, or the police come after them for just going a bit too far.
But then again, if you go back to our first statistic, where they're only expressing 7%, or we're only getting 7% of what they're expressing, I wonder what they were doing with a smile on their face, or whether they were smashing all the furniture around them while they were doing it. Because we don't see that.
There's a footballer recently that retweeted one of his not a follower, but someone had taken offence to what this footballer had done or said, or maybe beaten his rival team or whatever, and he kind of said something really, really, really horrible about this footballer's daughter, and he actually got the police involved. He got he's got a court case coming up for it. So whether he was thinking, well, it would have been kind of done with a laugh. Probably he got his mates around him. Look what I'm going to say to this guy. But yeah, you got to be careful, haven't you?
And I've got cases that come up, you know, again and again, where someone has had to be cautioned by the police because they are sending more and more texts to their ex-partner, you know, which are, you know, their partner's left in the split up, and the venom is coming down the text. And that concept of harassment by text is now a reality.
Mm. Yeah. And just lastly, then I want to talk, because I'm doing it right now, a kind of sense of constant distraction which people have. Because I've got a tab here, which alongside my show notes, I've got football scores coming in. Because there's three games of football going on tonight in the Premier League, and I'm worried about my fantasy team. But Sturridge has just scored for Liverpool, and he's in my team, so I'm laughing. but yeah, there's that constant sense of distraction, whether you should be concentrating on your beautiful little child in the pram, but all you're doing is scrolling up on Facebook to see what's happened, scrolling down on Facebook.
You know that idea that people don't watch television these days, they watch catch-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a sense, catch-up gives us the opportunity to spend more time doing real things.
Yeah.
And only watching a screen when we want to use catch-up.
Yeah, TV has changed, hasn't it, in that sense, that you watch it when you're ready, not when,
yeah, when it's on.
When the Radio Times tells you to watch it.
Yeah.
But at the same, well, no, because we still have that community sense that everyone watches Game of Thrones at the same time because they're all that excited about it. But you don't get the same kind of thing. Oh, that Christmas special of Only Fools and Horses or whatever, where the whole country is watching it at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we're missing out on things like that.
Yeah. The collective consciousness of all laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I'm good.
You've got a resource. Oh,
yeah. My resource is this. Is like, how about between now and when you next listen to our wonderful words at the next episode, that everybody out there, that maybe every day you consciously turn your devices off for either, you know, a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, and you consciously talk to another human being, but you actually look them in the eyes while you're doing it.
Blimey, imagine.
Yeah.
I was watching an interview with Bernie Sanders. This is my addiction to, like, US politics. With Spike Lee, film director, which is dead interesting. Two really cool guys. But Bernie Sanders is really awful at eye contact in interviews. I don't know if you've seen any with him. And I love the guy in terms of what he says and his message. Doesn't look like he's going to get the nomination. Hey-ho. But yeah, I was wondering, what's with that Bernie Sanders no eye contact thing? Because it's like to an extreme almost. He doesn't even have his head turned to the direction.
Well, either he's on the Asperger's spectrum or he's got some severe eye disorder, as in eye disorder.
As in, okay. Yeah. Well, he's getting on a bit, but...
You know, where he's stopped looking at people because he's too busy looking at the words on the screen. Yeah.
No, he was just looking at the floor. There was no auto cue or anything in this one. No phone in front of him. I don't know. Interesting. I want to mention a few little digital products that I use just for keeping up with stuff, which I think are... The thing with the internet, you never know if you're getting the truth or not as well, so take all these things with a pinch of salt.
Yeah,
do your research.
It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
But Quora.com, Q-U-O-R-A, which I've mentioned, brilliant for kind of setting up. It sends you an email every few days with stuff, questions that you're interested in, and then it has interesting people reply to those questions with fascinating kind of responses. I love Quora. Next Draft is another one. It's a kind of an email that goes out every few days. It's US angle of kind of world affairs, but it's like a snippet of interesting things going on in the world. And then I use Time Hop as well, which I've mentioned loads of times, which kind of sends me this reminder of what I was doing a year, 2 years, 3 years ago online, which is kind of my attempt to remember things a bit better, which I think it works. But I do have a written journal as well.
Yes.
I have a written journal which I've been doing for like 4 years now.
Can you publish it?
Maybe one day. That's the thing. It's a physical book upstairs. You know, if the house gets burnt down, I'm done for.
Yeah,
I need to back it up to Dropbox or something.
Yeah, you need to have it in maybe in a safe.
I should do. Next week, we're talking about something else, which we haven't decided yet. But it'll be great, won't it, Sean?
Everything that we do is great.
Yep.
Breathing is great.
Well, we breathe better than anybody you've ever seen. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out. If there's something you'd like us to talk about in next week's or the following week's episode, or just drop us an email, hello@livingthepresent.co.uk, and we'll add it to the list and we'll send you a little response. We, of course, don't have to mention your name if you'd rather not. Just let us know either way. If you'd like us to, or is a website you want us to point to, feel free. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and please do share this show with a pal via email, via Facebook or Twitter. That would help us out an awful lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And one thing that would be interesting, actually, anyone that's listening to this, would be some feedback on if you did turn your device off and you did communicate with other people, what was it like? What did it feel like?
What did it actually feel like
to
be alone in a room?
Yeah, without a device.
My word, can you imagine?
Yeah. Because do you remember we came across that thing where they were getting total strangers to meet and look each other in the eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it, eh? All right. Sean, you have a good week.
And you.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.